But one of the things that happened in the early days of the Spitzer-Patterson administration, and was affirmed in the Patterson administration, was the original move was to create an office for the blind. There were people who didn't like an office for the blind. Private agencies, the establishment didn't like an office for the blind. There's another organization of our breakaway cousins that did not want any kind of input by blind people into this event. They opposed it with the agencies. We got a compromise. The compromise that was cobbled together by Senator George Maziarz of Niagara Falls created what was referred to as an executive board of the Commission for the Blind. But the charge was more than that. The charge was to oversee anything having to do with services for the blind in New York, that be housing, transportation, rehabilitation, or income, or subsistence programs, or anything, the education of blind children, anything where it affected a blind person in this state became the province of that board. And that board's charge was to advise the legislature and the executive on good public policy concerning blindness. That board has been in existence for a while. It was a really good idea. It got, like I said, it was created under the Spitzer-Patterson administration and was supported during the Patterson administration. I will thank the governor for that publicly again when he's back in the room. There are six members present in this room of that board right now, and that board must be majority blind. That is a first in this state for things having to do in the affairs of the blind. It's usually, you know the drill, put a blind guy at the table, put a bunch of sighted guys around and say, well, we've got blind representation. We've got old Joe over here. This is a board that is representative of blind people as well. There are NFB people, there are ACB people, there are some kind of other people, like Father John said, there are people, some people, I don't even know what they are. So it is a fully representative board, and at the chair of that board, we have another blind individual. And I'd like to give you, for whatever he cares to say, the chairman of the executive board, Luis Mendez.
Let me start first with the traditional sound check. Mindy, can you hear me?
No.
We start this all, every meeting we start with a sound check, and the sound check is, Mindy, can you hear me? Let me see what I can do here to, is this any better? Okay.
I just wondered how you got Kate for a daughter.
I think Kate will tell you that when I need to, I actually can be heard very clearly. I want to tell you how privileged I feel to be able to stand here before you today and to thank you for supporting the establishment of the board, for pushing the idea as hard as NFB pushed it, and for recognizing the board and making me as chair of the board feel welcomed and feel like I am in an environment which understands the work that the board has been charged with. The executive board, as Carl has indicated, has a very broad mandate, and that mandate to examine all aspects of services, programs, and activities that impact New Yorkers who are blind encompasses every aspect of state, and I would even say local government, from cradle to grave. It is the potential power to influence everything that goes on in this state in a way that can continue and strengthen the work of improving quality of life for New Yorkers. In some ways, it has also turned into a barrier, and I believe it to be a temporary barrier for the operation of the board. Because while the board was set up with a broad mandate, it was provided with little in the way of operational funding, and lodged institutionally in an organization whose mission is doesn't encompass all of the potential activities, input, and policy directions and influence that the board will, I believe, ultimately have. That is an area that we need to work on, we need to rectify, but until then, I can tell you that despite those limitations, the board has had tremendous successes in the 4 years in which we've been in operation. Working with the commission, we have had a very positive impact in reviewing and getting significant changes to the way the technology programs are delivered in the state. And that includes making technology available to people in vocational rehabilitation who are pursuing their GED program and who are pursuing a broad range of vocational activities, whether they involve college or otherwise. I hope that the commissioner does address some of those changes that are in the work regarding the technology program. Two areas that the board has also focused on are the business enterprise program, and I was pleased to hear today that many of the recommendations that were in the 2010 report with respect to organizing the support for expansion of the program seem to have been heard and acted on favorably, and that the goal that the board set of one facility per month by 2013, if not fully realized, at least is going to be substantially realized if the program continues to develop the way it was outlined today. I think that's an important achievement. The Blind Enterprise Program is an important source of employment for very good, very high-income jobs for our people. The other area that the board has focused very heavily on is the area of education. There is a recognition that the process of rehabilitation can't start at age 14. It can't start at age 10. It has to start with the identification of vision problems as close to birth as possible, and the introduction of skilled and supportive intervention as soon as possible, working with parents, working in the preschool setting, working in the elementary school setting, to make sure that children who are blind are getting all of the intervention that is required to include Braille in order to develop as competent students ready to enter the world of career training. Without beginning that process early in life, you're going to have the situation that I am hearing over and over again of people entering vocational rehabilitation without the skills to be assured at least an opportunity for success in the workplace, let alone through the training programs that are currently being made available. To that end, I was pleasantly surprised to learn yesterday at the other town meeting at ACB that this has become an issue of very general concern. There was a very lively discussion about the need to have early intervention and to have programs in the schools, and there was support voiced by people in that at that town meeting for things like pushing for enactment of the core curriculum, which would require the provision of a broad range of ancillary services traditionally thought of as rehab services, along with education. And to that end, there was support for a recommendation that is articulated in the 2010 report, which is to establish a group to actually work through those issues, develop the recommendations, and bring those recommendations forth as legislation that would be considered by the New York State Legislature to mandate the provision of these services. I was really gratified to hear Carl say that a push is on the way to get hearings scheduled on education and the outcome of education in front of the legislature. I would hope that we can coordinate that effort so that those hearings can focus around a very concrete set of recommendations that we could advance as legislation. That, ladies and gentlemen, concludes my remarks. If there are any questions, please.
Comment before I take questions. I'm just grabbing my mic. Comment before I take questions. I got a couple of minutes to do that. We're almost back on time, by my figuring. I'm glad, Luis, that number one, that you're here, and number two, that we are fine, that the other organizations finally caught up to us in their town meeting. We are going to do this together. We are willing to work with the executive board. We will always be willing to work in coordination with each other to make things better for blind people. Where we disagree, we will disagree. But we will always be there in terms of Braille for our kids and jobs for our people. Those are your two bottom lines to begin. So if it's not about literacy and it's not about jobs, they have to come first. Otherwise, the rest of civil rights legislation is merely feel good. Questions? Sorry? Oh yeah, Chance, go. Does she need a mic? Well, you know, yes. You might not need a mic the way that's going. I'll hear more buzz than words.
No, actually.
Let me try. I'm going to repeat your question, Chancey.
Okay.
That way.
Okay.
I can hear you. Go ahead. I like the idea. Yeah. Yeah. I'll summarize it. I think Chancey would like the private vendors to be held to the same standards as the private agencies. If that's a rough assumption of a rough summation. I don't know if that's a question appropriate for Luis, but Brian's coming on in a few minutes. And I think, Brian, if you make a note of that, we can perhaps deal with that in the context of your remarks. Fair enough? Okay. Chance, I think that's better addressed. You think so too, Luis?
I think so.
Better addressed by Brian than you?
Yes.
Yeah. Luis isn't trying to duck it, but he thinks it's better addressed by Brian than by him. We will get it done before 5 o'clock. Other questions?
Mindy, comment. Okay. I just want to say that I think that, considering that we have absolutely no budget to work on with the executive board, we've had ups and downs getting ourselves to be able to meet and pay for conference calls and things like that. I think that given this, when we do meet, I have to say that I think we've had a very good give and take with the CBVH, and I think that they have been very responsive to many of our points. So I would say that we look forward to a good future, continued openness and ease of communication.
I would underscore that. The members of the board who are here today, it's Julie, David, Maria, Mindy, and myself are members of that board. And Luis, obviously, we knew Luis was. He's chairing it. The thing he was on the agenda. Hello, do I need to say that again? But those are the other additional members of that board. On behalf of the five of us from this organization, who were not representing this organization, they were appointed by the governor to just represent because the governor thought that they would meet, they would serve the need. We are often referred to as the NFB reps. We are not the NFB reps. We happen to be five people who happen to be members of the NFB. There are a couple of people who are members of the ACB. I don't see them as ACB reps. I see them as people who are representing other interests. And oftentimes we can agree with them, by the way. Having said that, I think it's fair to say that we agree with what Mindy said and look forward to continuing the work of this board into areas other than the commission. I think the commission is an area that needs to be watched and monitored, but I think the education of blind children, the other needs of blind people in the state, the elderly blind, et cetera, there's a big area that is left untouched. And if we're going to do our job right, I think, Luis, you're the right man to have at the helm to guide us through. So thank you for doing that, what you're doing. And thank you for being here. Thank you.